It is a blessing to go back down memory's trail and remember what a difference Jesus made when He moved in our heart. Amen. And how He changes a heart, and He changes a home, He changes habits, He changes everything. Thank God for Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's all stand as we get ready with another song and get ready for the Word of God.
Page 275.
My soul. It's more than a song, amen. It's reality, thank God. It is well. Since Jesus moved in, as we were talking about earlier, made the difference, amen. There's some people that feel as if because the family they was born into, maybe the wealth they were born into, the position they were born into, that they are set for life. But you're not really set for life until you come to know Christ. Amen. You don't know life. You don't have life until you come to know Christ. And I'm glad He'll set you, amen, for life. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 2 is where our text is again today. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, where we're going to be reading from again this morning. Let me say again, I'm glad to have my father-in-law and mother-in-law with us these days. And they've been a blessing. They came in on, Thursday morning, a little bit before lunch. And been with us now for a few days, and we're glad to have them. And hope you'll make them welcome and enjoy their presence with us as well. Amen. And then good to have all our folks here with us today, and we're glad you're here. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 8. The Bible said, And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Hall if he would lead us in prayer at this time.
Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord. I can say that your blood has made it well with us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for our song service today.
Yes.
Thank you, worship. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching out. Sunday school time. I pray you bless our pastor this morning.
Help us, Lord.
Power, grace, and great glory. Enabling to preach, Lord, with our hearts. I do ask you, Lord, to save someone today.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. We're looking at this second letter of the seven letters to the churches, seven churches in Asia. And we've noticed this letter is written to Smyrna. I mentioned the distinct differences of this letter from the other seven. First of all being this letter is the shortest letter written of all of them. And then secondly, mention that this church shares with the church at Philadelphia the distinction of being the only two which do not contain an admonition, do not have a rebuke given to them, but only have good things said about them. And then advice, going straight from the admiration to the advice. And we're going to be looking at that today with that thought. In our previous studies, I mentioned there's five things to look for in each of these seven letters. We look for the address. We look for the admiration, the admonition, the advice, and the advantage. And as we've done this in the address of this, I think last Sunday I preached on the address and showed you the, or actually Sunday before that, the address is to the leader, that's the angel of the church at Smyrna, in verse number 8. And then also we notice that it's the location, the church is in Smyrna. And then we notice the Lord, and I brought out how that the Lord represents Himself with some of the same characteristics that He revealed Himself in chapter number 1. But He reveals Himself with a distinct portion of that characteristic that is needful for that church at that time. And so He's the Lord. He said, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And I wanted you to notice the emphasis on the life. The Lord showed us in the previous letter to the church at Ephesus, He showed us the light. He had the stars in His hands, which shine at night. He had the candlesticks that among which He walked, which gave light. Here He's showing us that He is the life. Amen. And did you know that everything that has life has the opportunity
to produce life, has the opportunity to help with life. In other words, He gave us life, and thank God we have the opportunity to show others life and help them come to know life in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Amen. And then verse number 9, we notice the admiration as He spoke of those things which were admired by the Lord. And I did alliterate those. I didn't on the first. But He said, first of all, I know thy works. I called that their works and advancement in progress. He said, secondly, I know thy tribulation. And that is their worries with the adversaries and problems or adversities and problems. And then He said, I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. And that is their wealth amid abject poverty. And then last of all, in verse number 9, He says, I know the blasphemy of them that say, or which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Amen. And so we see that He talked about their warfare amid angry persecutors, or against those angry persecutors. And so He saw where they were, and He bragged on them, really, I believe, for holding up under such suffering and under such stress. And He encouraged them in those things. Now we're moving on to the admonition in verse number 10. He says, fear none of these things. I'm sorry, none of those things. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, and be faithful unto death, or be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now we looked at the address, and we looked at the admiration. I said I'll just speak a moment about the admonition. As I mentioned, there is no admonition given in this letter. And so it says that this church that He's talking to in Smyrna and their pastor were so faithful and so diligent that Christ did not find fault that He needed to mention to them. Amen. I would say it is high honor indeed of these persecuted people that nothing could be said of them about rebuke. Amen. Here's the point I want to make about that, and I want it to sink in our mind. It is possible for this whole world to speak evil of you and yet Jesus not have one bad thing to say. Thank God about our life. I want to live in such a way, I'd like for men to be able to speak well of me. But the Bible says, woe unto them which all men speak well of. Amen. When they're pretty popular, a lot of times when you see that the world is flocking after people, you might not know what's wrong with it, but you know there's bound to be something wrong with it somewhere. Amen. That's right. And so it is possible that I would like to be approved by some men. I would like to. But if nobody approves of me except the Lord, I'll be glad that He approves of me. Amen. And so He said nothing bad about this church. It seems as if Christ is telling them that they're on the right track. And so just keep on and keep up the good work. Amen. And I'm glad that's right. They have proven to be the kind of Christian that Paul wanted for the church at Philippi. Here's what he said. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights. Just because the world's crooked don't mean we need to get crooked. Say amen right there. Just because the world's letting down the standards, and when I say world, it could be the political world, or the religious world, or the entertainment world, or whatever world you want to talk about, that they may be letting down the standards, but we don't have to let down the standards. We can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Amen. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, this church proved you can be. Amen. The church at Smyrna, and the name Smyrna has in it the word of myrrh, and the idea of a sweet savor and a good smell to God. I believe it stinks in the nostrils of God when we don't have a good report, but I believe it is a pleasure unto Him when we do have a good report. Amen. Amen. And that report, of course, coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. These people were definitely in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and yet they had proved to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Amen. Even in affliction. Amen. Some people say, well, I can handle success pretty good, but how are you going to handle suffering? Amen. How are we going to handle suffering? This generation has lived in the lap of luxury. We think it's worse than we're suffering worse than the Great Depression just because we're having a hard time paying our cell phone bill. Because they might have to cut off cable. Amen. Suffering worse than the tribulation. I mean, worse than the Great Depression. We've got all kinds of ideas. We've got two cars in the driveway, most of us. Amen. We're blessed. I mean, blessed beyond measure. We can eat out. We can enjoy things. And yet we think we got it bad when we're living in the lap of luxury. I wonder what it's going to be. Jeremiah said, if the footmen tear you, what shall the horses do when it comes to hard times, when the river's swollen and we've been enjoying it while it's been down and we think everything's doing pretty good. We've been sitting on the sunny banks. Amen. And we've been enjoying ourselves. What are we going to do when the troubles really come? This church at Smyrna had troubles, and yet they've proven to be true. Amen. God help us to do the same. They could say along with Paul, Paul the Apostle said at the close of his life, I have fought a good fight. Amen. I have kept the faith. Jesus said this crowd, he said, you've been doing pretty good. Just hang in there. He advised them to finish their course, their own course. Just finish that course. Amen. Amen. So that's the only thing about admonition. I'd say they had no admonition, and what a blessing that is, that he couldn't say one bad thing about them. Now let's move on to the advice in verse number 10. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now that verse has a lot in it. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to attempt to try to preach that whole verse this morning, and I don't think I'll be able to finish it tonight, bluntly honest with you. When I looked at it, I saw more and more and more that it came right out of that verse. But this advice that our Lord is saying to them sounds strange to our ears. Christ did not say, cheer up, look up, things are picking up, it's going to get better. That's not what he said. That's not at all what he said. He didn't say, cheer up, don't be afraid, your problems are about to go away. No, rather what he said was right the opposite. He said, cheer up and don't be afraid, your problems are about to get worse. Amen. That's exactly what he said. Fear not, or fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer.
Right.
Amen. So he's given them advice. Christ does not hide the fact that Christians are going to suffer. And by the way, that will divide the chaff from the real thing. A lot of people have come to Christ with the idea, I mean, you get saved and everything's fine. You'll have a big bank account. You'll have, it'll just be wonderful. Everybody will love you. The world will even love you because the world loves Christianity. They love anti-Christianity is what the world loves. They love their brand of Christianity, which is anti-Christianity. Amen. It's the devil's religion that they love. Amen. But people have been fed this lie that when they get saved, everything's going to be wonderful. And so Christ does not hide from us the fact that Christians, true Christians, are going to suffer. You say, preacher, you sound like a prophet of doom or a prophet of gloom. I'm not gloomy, and I don't believe that it's bad just because we do suffer. I don't know how much we will face, but I believe we will. I believe right here in the United States of America, we're going to face some battles by the world and the devil before this thing comes, because the dragon knows that his time is short and he's very wroth. He's going to do as much evil as he can in these days, and our government has bowed down to it. If it'll get them another vote, if it can get them another year in office, if it can get them the approval of the world, they'll bow to it and they'll throw the Christians under the bus, so to speak, and we'll see it more and more in our lifetime. Amen. And I don't believe that bear's done over there in Russia either. I don't believe they're done. Amen. I don't know what we're going to face, but I've got a good idea that the fellow at the helm right now is not ready to face it. Amen. I'm not politicking. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. But here's what you say, preacher, that sounds pretty bad. Well, the Lord said, cheer up. Don't be afraid of these things. It's coming. It's coming. But he said, you don't have to be afraid of them. Amen. Amen. He gives them the comfort here. He does not hide the fact that they're going to suffer. He does not hide the fact that they're going to be, some of them be imprisoned. And they're going to be tried for their faith. But he gives them the comfort that there is really nothing for them to fear. Fear none of those things. Amen. That's what he said. Fear none of those things. They are recommended to expect more persecutions, but they're encouraged to meet that with courage and fortitude. Amen. To stand up and face their battles and their struggles. Amen. Amen. Well, Christ tells them that the devil would stir up some agents, some of his agents, that they might be cast into prison for a season to test them. Amen. His statement to them there is that they should be faithful unto death. That gives the inference that the persecution might be so sore that some people die. Amen. That's how hard it may become that some people not only go to prison, but go to the stake. Amen. And I'm not talking about a T-bone stake. Amen. Some people go and be burned at the stake. Well, when I look at this verse, I broke it down five things in this verse, and I'm saving the last, but I'll throw you out the five things here about this verse. He talks about the terror they are to avoid. He talks about the trouble they are alerted to. He talks about the trials they were to be associated with. He talks about the time that they, or which they were allotted. And last of all, he gives them the triumph they were to aim for. And so in looking at these, I want to show you these in verse number 10. And I want to deal with the first one this morning by the help of the Lord. He says in verse number 10, first phrase, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's talking about the terror they are to avoid. He's not saying avoid persecution. They can't avoid it. But he's saying don't be afraid of it. Amen. You know, we talk about terrorism. That's become a big word. When I was a little boy growing up, I didn't know what a terrorist was. Matter of fact, Brother Hall, when they talked about Vietnam and they talked about guerrilla warfare, I thought they was fighting gorillas. That's all I did. That's what I thought. Amen. I didn't know what a terrorist was. We know what they are today, don't we? Amen. We know what terrorists are today because they've been on our shore. Amen. We hear about it all the time. Matter of fact, that's what they're about. The whole thing is to bring terror. They want to make people afraid. They want people to jump at every shadow. They want people to cringe at every noise. Amen? That's what the devil's after, by the way. The devil loves to terrorize. The devil preys on fear. The devil loves to instill fear. And our Lord says, don't be afraid. Amen. Amen. The church at Smyrna was already suffering before they got this letter. He talks about the persecution they were facing. He talks about the poverty they were living in. Amen. He talks about the fact that they were being slandered, those people that claimed to be Jews, but were lying, he said. They're not only lying about themselves, they're lying about them and what they were doing. Amen. And so he says, be not afraid, or fear not, fear none of these things. Amen. That's our Lord's first words of comfort to this church. First words of advice. Amen. First words, he says, don't be afraid. Amen. These words, fear not, be not afraid, are familiar words to our Lord's disciples. Amen. For example, in Matthew chapter 14, go and turn there if you want to. I've got some of these listed. We can turn and look at them. Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples were on a boat, you remember this, in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, there's a terrible storm came up. I imagine that they clasped to the sides of the boat. They feared that the next wave was going to flip them over, capsize them, and dump them out into the raging sea. They feared for their lives, is what the Bible talks about. Amen. They thought that the next wave was going to be their last. This is it. It's all over. Their frail little vessel's going to take in water and they're going to drown. And they saw their predicament. Here comes Jesus walking on the water and he saw their troubles. Here's his first word, verse 27, Matthew 14, 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them saying, be of good cheer. Break out the party hats. Bring the whistles out. Let's have a big time. Be of good cheer. The storm's still brewing. The wind's still blowing. Amen. The wind's still howling. The waves are still dashing. Amen. The night's still dark. The thunder's still rolling. The lightning's still flashing. But Jesus is saying, cheer up, friends. You don't have to be afraid because I'm here in the midst of your storm. Amen. The song that the ladies sing sometimes, when Jesus stepped between me and the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to be afraid when Jesus is in the midst. Amen. Then when God spoke out of heaven on top of Mount Carmel, look at Matthew chapter 17, just a few pages over, Matthew 17. And God spoke out of heaven on top of Mount Carmel. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration because Jesus was transfigured there with Moses and Elijah that were there. And the disciples fell to the ground with their faces pressed downwards and their hearts filled with fear. Matthew 17 verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Amen. The glory was so thick that these men feared for their lives. Faces downward. Jesus. Well, matter of fact, look back at verse 6. You'll see they were afraid. And when the disciples heard the voice, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were afraid to look. They were afraid they'd see God. And they knew that the thought has been in man's mind throughout probably all the history of mankind that no man can see God and live. If we look on God, our own sinfulness will consume us. His holiness will consume us. And so their fear caused them to bow down and their faces pressed downward. But Jesus touched them and said, be not afraid. Amen. And then when Jairus went to persuade the Savior to come home with him, turn on over a few more pages, Mark chapter 5. Jairus went to persuade the Lord to come home with him to heal his little 12-year-old daughter. She was sick. When he left, she was probably deathly sick. But while they were on the way, you remember a woman touched him with his garment, interrupted his procedure. As they were going to Jairus' house, this woman interrupted things by touching his garment. He turned and dealt with her. And while he's, it looks like almost even while he's dealing with her, while he yet spake, it says in verse number 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Fear none of these things. Be not afraid. What's going to keep me from being afraid? He finishes it. Only believe. Amen. What you going to believe in? You going to believe in a good luck charm? No. I'm going to believe in the fact that Jesus is here and He can solve my problem. Amen. Amen. In each of these cases, Jesus is telling His disciples to trust Him and their faith will overcome their fear.
Right.
Amen. I believe if we'll trust Christ as we ought, faith can overcome any fear that might torment our mind. Amen.
Yes,
I believe Satan is the first terrorist that ever lived.
Yes.
He's the one who invented Allah and the Muslims, by the way.
Right.
He invented that whole thing. Amen. He's the one invented... What was that now? The word left my mind. When the Catholics was chasing after the Inquisition, hunting people down and chasing after them and locking them up with just somebody to testify against them. It could be somebody that just wanted their property and they'd testify against them and they'd lock them up and maybe have them burned at the stake. The devil invented all that. He's the first terrorist that ever lived. He knows the power of terrorization. He operates on his understanding of fear. Here's what the Bible says, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. That's the phrase I want you to pick up out of 1 John 4:18. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He's saying you're giving too much respect to the devil and too little respect to the Lord when you let the devil scare you.
Right.
That's really what he's saying right there.
Right.
Amen. You're giving too much respect to the devil and too little respect to the Lord when you let the devil fear you. Amen. Cause you to fear, scare you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We know this verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've said to numerous people down through my ministry, if you've got the spirit of fear, it wasn't God that gave it to you. That's what Paul said. Who gave it to you then? Another spirit. It could be the weakness of the flesh, or it could be the devil himself. But I personally believe the devil loves to dole out fear. Amen. And I could use a lot of illustrations. Here's one that just quickly comes to mind. When our Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and He came out of the wilderness, when the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Don't you think the devil was saying, you're going to starve to death. God's going to let you starve out here. There's not a McDonald's in sight. Amen. There's nowhere you can go to get a meal. What are you going to do? You're going to starve to death. He's trying to prey on fear and instigate fear in the life of the Lord. He'll do the same to me and you. Amen. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy here in 2 Timothy 1:7. He warned him that any fears which he had did not come from God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I believe it came from another spirit. That spirit is the devil. Satan knows this, that fear will sap your strength. There's a lot of things fear will do. I wrote some of them down. I've got three things written right here. Fear will sap your strength. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you the spirit of power. That's what Paul said. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power is the word strength. Our strength is in the Lord. Is that right? Amen. Our strength is in the Lord. How can we overcome? It is faith that overcomes. Is that right? We believe in Him, and believing in Him gives us strength to overcome. And the devil knows that if he can get us to fear, he will sap our strength. The second thing fear will do, it'll not only sap your strength, it'll make you angry. You've had it happen, haven't you? You get scared, and all of a sudden, once the fear is relieved a little bit, you get angry. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. You use this. You got your little child. Your little child's down playing by the creek bank. You've told him, stay away. Stay away. I grew up. Our property, there's a creek. We lived on a hill. And we lived in the mountains and on a hill. There's a flat spot big enough for mom and dad to set the trailer that we lived in. And then dad built onto the side of it. It was big enough just for that. Just for that. Had enough room at the end of the trailer for a basketball goal. But you didn't shoot that way because you're shooting uphill. And you're careful shooting down that way because at the bottom was a creek. Alright? Do y'all come creeks or cricks? We get a crick in our neck, but it's a creek run down behind our house. Alright? But what I was going to say, mom and dad would say to us, y'all stay away from that creek. There's water moccasins down there. That's what they tell us anyway. Hey, they'd say, you get down there and you're going to get muddy. You're going to get hurt and all this kind of stuff that's going to happen to you. I can imagine a mama that's up there working in her kitchen and she glances out the window and sees, she knows the kids have got quiet. She knows they're into something. And so she looks down and there's a little junior and he's down there right at the creek bank where he shouldn't be. And fear grips her heart and she runs down. She knows he's going to die. She knows it's the end of it. And she runs down there and rescues him. And once that fear's gone, now she's mad. Yeah. Creek didn't kill you, so now she's going to. Amen. Fear causes us, it saps our strength, but God gives us a spirit of power. It makes us angry, but God gives us a spirit of love. That's what He said. 2 Timothy 1:7. Amen. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you know the third thing is fear makes you not think straight. Amen. Fear will cause you to do crazy things sometimes. Fear sometimes causes you to hurt yourself or somebody else. I used to say to my boys, I'd say it a lot of times, I'd say, boys, anger ain't a bad thing. Anger is a good thing if you can control it. Fear's not necessarily a bad thing if you can control it, but when it gets out of control, you'll hurt yourself or somebody else. Amen. Fear. Did you know there have been a lot of people about to drown and somebody jumps in to go rescue them and the person that was about to drown is so scared they drown the person trying to save them? That is true. Happens over and over and over. Fear will cause you to do strange things, warp your mind. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. God's given us a sound mind, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe that's why Jesus says, overcome your fear and you can overcome the devil. Amen. Fear not. Fear none of these things. Satan knows that fear comes from doubt. Amen. Comes from doubt. And causes torments to the heart and to the mind. Yeah, listen, you know that there's a truth. There is a depth of truth that fear causes torment to your heart and your mind. Sometimes you can't even sleep because of what's there. And it's not what is there, it's what may be. Amen. What may be. Fear. The devil likes to work with fear. But God gives us perfect love that casteth out fear. That's what He said. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. God gives us that. That eases our doubts and eases our torments. Amen. Amen. Jesus wants us to love Him and trust Him so strongly that the devil cannot torment our mind or sap our strength with fear. I believe that's right. Amen. Now, I put this note in here. I've read that in the jungles of the safari, that often a mighty roar of the lion will cause the antelope or other prey to be paralyzed. That antelope can run a lot faster than the lion unless he's full of fear. That fear causes them to be paralyzed to the point that they do not flee for safety. They can't tell which direction the sound came from. They're not sure which way to run. And so they're paralyzed in fear. I believe the devil a lot of times likes to roar in our life that he might stop our progress. Amen. That he might stop us from going on for God, but he might paralyze us in that moment of fear. They say when that antelope freezes, many times they are easily devoured by the lion. And I wonder if we're not hearing Satan roaring today as a lion, giving out his best impression of strength so that he can do his best to cause fear, to strike fear into the hearts of men and women, causing them to become easy prey to his attack. I'm afraid that's right. Amen. The devil's doing it. Well, Christ warned his disciples in the Gospels that times one day would get rough. The troubles would come. We'll turn back and look at some of these. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 4. I'll just show you these real quickly. And I'll wind her down. I think some of you are already winding down. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. He told us times are going to get hard, tough, troubles are going to come. He tells us to trust God and not fear men or other devils. Amen. Men or devils. Luke 12, verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Amen. I heard it said that a preacher had been preaching. He'd been preaching against alcohol. It was in the days of Prohibition. And that somebody had approached him with a gun and said, "Preacher, you're the one that's been preaching against alcohol, and I'm going to shoot you." And so that preacher said, "Are you trying to threaten me with heaven? What kind of threat is that?" Amen. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of them. If they can kill you, that's all they can do." Look at Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. A couple of places in Matthew 10. Three places in Matthew 10. Verse number 26. Now they just accused Jesus of working in the power of the devil. He said, "They're going to accuse you of the same thing." Verse 26, "Fear them not therefore, For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Look at verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Look at verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. So our Lord's saying there, listen, God's taking care of the sparrows. I was telling my father-in-law, my neighbor the other day, he talked to me sometimes. I try to get him to come to church. He says, I'm not a church-going fella. He said, that's where I ought to be, but I'm not a church-going fella. And he's talking to me yesterday or day before about how the grass is growing under his bird feeder. He puts out bird seed, and he told me now, he's talking about sowing his whole yard in bird seed because the grass grows like crazy wherever the bird seed was. But he was telling me about how much money last winter, how much money he'd spent in bird seed. I mean, he's bought hundreds of pounds of bird seed. And I was thinking to myself, and I told my father-in-law, you know, there's people, God's been feeding the birds for millennia, amen. God's been feeding them every day. He can take every now and then he'll let somebody don't even believe in him pay the bill. But he can handle it with them or without them, amen. So I don't buy bird seed. I buy human food. Amen. Yeah, right. Fried chicken. Amen. All right. Well, I got to be serious. The point here is this. Jesus was saying to them, listen, times are going to get hard. They're going to rail against you. They're going to arrest you. They're going to try you. They're going to condemn you. They may put you in prison. They may take your head. They may take your property. They may take everything you've got. But that's all they can do is take what's down here. They can't touch what's on the inside. They can't touch what's over in glory land. That's why set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's where our heart ought to be. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Now, looking back at our text, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. That phrase, fear none of those things. Fear none of those things. This is the advice our Lord gave to the church at Smyrna. He gave that advice to His disciples on earth while He was on earth. Now He's giving that advice to the saints left here on earth while He's in glory. Fear not. Fear not. Fear none of these things. Don't be afraid. This word fear is Strong's number 5399. It's the word phobio. It's the word we get our English word phobia from. It means to frighten, that is to be alarmed, to be in awe of, or to revere. It's translated in the King James Bible as be afraid, be sore afraid, fear, fear exceedingly, and it's also translated in the King James Bible reverence. Reverence. We are told, by the way, to fear God. It's not that we're sore afraid of Him, but we reverence Him. Here's my point. If we fear the devil, if we're not careful, we're giving him too much credit. We're reverencing him. We're respecting him. He don't deserve any respect. Amen. We should reverence Christ so much that we have no room to give the devil any fear. Amen. I look on this verse, and I'm almost done. He said, fear, and here's the next four words? None of those things. Those four English words are actually one Greek word. You can look it up in Strong's. You can see that. You'll find it. I'm not a word scholar, but you can look it up just as good as I can. It's Strong's number 3367. Here's what the word means. Not even one. Not even one. Here's what Jesus said. Don't be afraid of one of them. Amen. Troubles, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We start counting our troubles. Oh, I've got this, and I got this, and I got that, and I might have that. We start adding up. Our Lord said, don't fear one of them. Amen. When the armies come against us, don't fear one of them. Amen. When the terrorists come against us, don't fear one of them. Christ tells us, fear not even one of those things. Amen. Amen. They may rail against us. They may come at us. But He said, fear them not. Jesus warns. Here's my closing remarks. Jesus warns that trouble is on its way. But terror does not have to grip our hearts. That's what he warns us. Amen. We can avoid terror. We do not have to be ruled by fear. We do not have to worry or fear or fret. Amen. There's a song some years ago. I tell my wife sometimes her dad said she's a worry nut. Not just a worry wart, she's a worry nut. That's what he says. And she likes to worry. Sometimes she gets worried that there ain't nothing to worry about. And God's blessed her. He's really helped her in these days. But here's what, sometimes we was going down the road one day, and she's playing a song, and she's singing that old song, "I won't have to worry when I reach that other shore." I said, "You don't have to worry now. I'm just as well as in heaven now, ain't I? Ain't that what the Bible says? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm as good as there. When John saw that multitude that couldn't be numbered, he saw me there. Let the terrorists rage. Let the government make their laws. Let them do what they want to do. They can't affect us. Praise God. We've got something. We don't have to fear them. Amen. We don't have to be ruled by fear. We don't have to worry. Amen. Amen. We don't have to be ruled by fear. Jesus sees it all. That's what he said. He said, "I know what's coming." He's letting them know, "I know." And he's going to tell them something about it. And we'll get into that tonight maybe. He said, "You don't have to fear none of it. You don't have to fear any of it." I guess that'd be proper English. Well, if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we don't have to live in fear. We need not fear being cursed by men. I remember reading one of the martyrs when he died, and I don't remember which one it was. I wish I did. One of the martyrs, as he was dying at the stake, he had been a priest, and of course he had rejected the Church of Rome, and so Rome was going to have him burned at the stake. And as of course before they can accuse them of heresy, they got to strip them of their priesthood because they've got them up on a pedestal. They got to strip them down to a normal level of what they call normal mortal men, and then they can take them to the stake and they can have them excommunicated from the church, but also they can take their life. And so as that priest was going through those rules, those things that he was said, he said to that man, he said, "I consign thee to the stake. I consign thee to be burnt in this life. And I consign thy body to be burnt in this life. And thy soul to burn in hell." And the man said, "You can consign my body to the fires in this world, but you cannot consign my soul to hell. For Jesus has washed my soul in His precious blood. And I'll never burn in the flames of hell. Fire." Amen. I'm glad I can have that confidence, and you can too. In the Lord Jesus, we need not fear being cursed by men. They can try to curse us. They can't pronounce a curse on us. We do not have to fear when we're slandered or mocked or ridiculed by men. We do not have cause for excessive fear when the soldiers or officers of the government knock on our doors. We have no reason to quake in fear or live in terror, though the demons and the devils howl with rage. Instead of living in fear, we can walk in faith. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is my helper. Are you trusting the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. His head bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Are you trusting the Lord? Are you living in fear? Jesus can take that fear away. Amen. He can take that fear away. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching this morning in the house of God. Thank you for the comfort of the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the consolation of the Spirit. As the Lord spoke these words, fear none of those things. We don't have to fear one of them. Lord, I'm grateful for that. Lord, help us that we'd keep our eyes on you and we'd count our blessings rather than focusing on the troubles and counting our problems, or perhaps problems. Lord, help us that we keep our eyes on Jesus and finish our course, as you said to this church at Smyrna. Lord, I pray you might move in somebody's heart that's not trusted you yet. In this invitation time, Lord, you might draw some sinner. They'd cast all their care on you, knowing that you're able to help and willing to help. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. They stand, as we stand and sing, if the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come around the altar. The altar's open. You can do business with the Lord if He's dealing with you at this time. 337. Would you come if you need to come?